Richards trying to scoot in there alone. It pinballs to the crease.
Let's get it.
Oh my god! Here we go, here we go.
You're listening to the Country Blues Podcast. With your hosts, Derek.
How you gonna get it, brother?
John.
Attaboy, Johnny, eat up, bud!
Matt Casey.
Unnecessary, but totally necessary.
And Cody.
Oh, he's gone.
What's not to love?
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Pod Street Bullies. I am John. I completely forgot to put us into the stream. We're currently rocking without Derek. We don't know if he's going to be here. He's on the phone with Comcast right now trying to upgrade his dial-up. But for right now, it's just me and the Matts. We'll start up with my buddy Matt Casey. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm cheery. I'm happy. I'm ready to go.
And Hoagie, how are you, my little sick friend?
I'm a lot better now. You know, our little strip there was going, you heard the what's not to love. I'm definitely not loving the Flyers right now.
No, there's not really much to love. And before we dive into 11 games of doom and gloom, I want to start on the big night topic, right? Keith Yandle has tied the Iron Man streak with however many games he's played, 960-something or whatever it is. And I think I have just a really important question, and I'm going to start with you, Hoagie. Do you care?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. I'm so tired of it.
No, I'm kind of the same way. Right. Casey, what about you, buddy?
No, I don't care. You know, in some ways I'm like, okay, it's actually really impressive. And if he could have just given 20 of those games to Ryan Ellis and let him play this year, I would have been happy. Like, it's a feat, I guess, like seeing the amount of injuries that we've seen this year. It's like, kudos to you for playing, but man, don't you rather play well?
I kind of had this thought in my head, and that's always a dangerous thing when I have thoughts in my head, but I'm curious what you guys think. You know, we are applauding this guy for how many ever straight games he's been playing, right? And I think that's fantastic. He's been able to stay healthy, all of that. But with the Flyers in particular, right, you're looking at a guy who should have been benched, what do you say, game 15, 20 into the season?
15 to 20, yep.
But we kept him in there because of his Iron Man streak. Now, for me personally, that kind of takes away from the accomplishment. Because it's like keeping somebody in there that doesn't necessarily deserve to be in there just for the sake of him reaching this. And Casey, what do you think about that?
I've definitely had, everybody's had that thought. You're like, does he really deserve to be in this lineup? And I think, you know, 2 weeks ago, you could probably have said, oh, do we have a better option? But now that we have York actually playing to an NHL level, or at least to a Flyers team level, I think it's tough to legitimize keeping Yandle in there. I'd much rather see a Yorkin Sealer, like, fine, whatever. Like, you know, we have more. I can accept the rookie mistakes from York because he's a rookie, not the rookie mistakes from Yandle, who's breaking the record for most games played and should know better.
But Sealer's busy playing Wayne right now.
Right.
If Frost doesn't step it up, I'm afraid Clendenning might come up and play center and bench him. So.
Hey, Hoagie, what about you, man? I mean, does it take away from it the fact that, like, he really shouldn't be in the lineup?
I mean, regardless if we sit him after he breaks this lineup, it'll be broken by Phil Kessel right after him. Because who knows if Yandle has another season in him. I mean, we have him for a one-year deal. He's definitely not coming back to the Flyers. So,
nope.
Who knows what happens after this year? I mean,
right.
I definitely see Kessel taking it because Kessel's got some gas in the tank still.
Well, I mean, like, my biggest worry is that we want to keep Kessel in the lineup so he can kind of keep it going. Be like, I'm not going to let Phil Kessel beat me.
No, I mean, at this point, you have a player. Who's he play for now? The Coyotes?
Yeah.
You have a player for the Coyotes and a player for the ever sinking. You know, we have like cement blocks on our feet like a mafia hit. Like, we're just sinking to the bottom of the NHL standings and doing it in just horrific fashion. Like, who cares? If it's
– right.
I'm more impressed. I didn't even realize this. Somebody, I guess, on Flyers Daily today, they were like, oh, March 13th or March 17th is Claude Giroux's 1,000th game. And that's all with the Flyers. I'm like, I'm much more – hey, like, that's pretty amazing, man, to do that with one team. Like, Yandle, like, good for you, but he's not – He hasn't been part of the Flyers Nation, and so I don't really care.
Derek Bob just commented. Apparently, his internet's somewhat working, just not enough to get on the show. But he said, "What do Keith Yandle and my laptop have in common? They're both slow and have a lot of miles on their tires."
Yeah,
maybe they both get benched by the weekend. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think we can move on from this Yandle thing, but it would be a lot better if he wasn't on this God awful team and playing a major role into why they stink, right? Yeah. I mean, if he still looked like a player that deserved to be out there, whole different conversation. But this is someone who probably should have retired and wanted to keep it going for the Iron Man. He's going to get it, and then hopefully gets sent to the AHL or retires.
Do you guys think they're going to? I mean, you know, he breaks it tomorrow night. So come Thursday or come this weekend, do you think he's out of the lineup? I don't think he is.
No. I mean, for who right now? Like,
we're playing the NHL roster right now.
Right. This team is so beat up. Like, what is it? The top six in tonight's game against the Islanders was like the bottom six in our opening night lineup.
pretty crazy. Much.
It's wild. It's wild. But anyway, whatever. Congrats, Keith Yandle. Good job. Moving on to the team. 11-game losing streak. We have lost 11 straight games. We've also lost 10 straight games earlier on in this season. And it just hit me, gentlemen, we're at the halfway point of this season.
Game 42 right now.
Like, the fact that we are only in 42 games this year, it's like, I don't know how much longer I can go with this. And I really don't know where to take this conversation in a way where it's something we just have, where it's something new. But Casey, are you seeing anything different from this team in this brand new losing streak?
I will say that with the exception of the Buffalo game, I feel like a lot of the games have been like, okay, we might have actually deserved a better fate. We didn't get it, obviously, and there's no points for second place, as Top Gun has taught us. But, you know, we just can't get over the hump. And the team is just so, like, feeble. They're fragile. They're little,
right.
You know, they're like little origami figures that you can't squish too hard. Otherwise, they're going to snap. I think the way that I look at it is also just, it is so clear that the fan base isn't even, they don't even care anymore. They don't even care enough to create a bag over the head movement for this 10 game losing streak. That's how little people care right now. So I do think it's different. I think there's, you know, I'm sure we'll get into all the factors, and it sucks. You're dealt a really raw hand. It's not one thing. It's not like, oh God, just this one thing happened. It's the perfect storm coming together of four or five different factors that all just went to hell. And unfortunately, like, it happened last year as well. And so all of a sudden that's a trend. If I was looking at, you know, somebody like the Islanders who have gone to the, you know, conference finals, what, 2 years in a row, now all of a sudden they're sucking wind, but they, you know, they haven't played, you know, they played 20 games.
Their schedule's been such a mess.
Right. You know, at least they still have something a little bit to play for. And, you know, they seem to be trending up a little bit, but the Flyers are just, it's dismal. And it sucks that it's this early in the season. At least last year when things were officially – when we were out of the playoffs, I think it was still like April. Like, we still had some time to go, but it wasn't that far. So, I don't know. It's pretty disheartening is the way I'll put it.
Right. I mean, and Hoagie
– Whoa!
Oh. Hey, guys. What's up?
I thought we were going to do that a little bit more smoother, boys. Like, you know, welcome into the show.
I don't deserve
Darren
that.
Bob, what the hell are you doing here?
What the hell are you doing here? This isn't even my show anymore. Jesus.
Well, your internet seems just fine, Derek.
yeah, things go smoothly until I show up. What can I say? Ask my wife.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Did you get that all settled up?
Everything's all good. First beer is open, and I'm ready to talk some Flyers hockey.
See, now,
first,
I have a question for you, because I don't believe you on the first thing, because I looked at the rundown, because okay. Hoagie pasted into the chat here.
No, I did. I did.
No, Casey
oh, you did.
Did.
Thank you. Casey did. It yep. says, how far does this sink have to ship before something, anything is done?
I can almost with 100% positivity tell you that I typed this up while I might have been inebriated.
Does this sink have to ship?
Or, I mean, really, I'm an idiot. I don't know what else you want me to say here.
All right.
Just you trying to get me to out myself as a moron?
No, I figured we'd have a little bit more fun at your expense. Anyway, before, you know, my good friend Derek decided to come in here, we were talking about the losing streak. And Hoagie, have you noticed anything different this time around?
I mean, they're a little bit more competitive, but they're not just, like Casey said, they're not getting over that hump. Like, right. I was at the Boston game in Boston, and it was a pretty good game. They were there, but they didn't show the drive to actually want to win that game. And I think that's the biggest difference. The first time game losing streak, they were just getting beat to death on the ice. Now they don't know how to get there.
Yeah, I mean, and Derek, I'm going to kick this to you, but mm-hmm. what I'm noticing is the minute this team gets scored on, they're completely deflated. Mm-hmm. It's like they've lost all hope the minute that first goal is in, like, oh, here we go again.
Scott Hartnell brought up a good point Saturday night after the game, or Saturday afternoon, I should say, where his time in Columbus under Tortorella, you just felt like you're on a losing streak. One thing goes wrong early on in the game, and you're constantly playing catch up. You're committing mm-hmm. penalties. You're, you know, playing from behind the entire time. And that's what this team has done from the get go, really. Like, yeah, okay, first 10, 11 games of the season, sure, we played all right. Ever since then, it's been complete crap. So, right. you know, playing catch up is never fun. You know, you want to get ahead. You want to, you know, get the lead. You want to be able to dictate the pace of play. You want to play your style. The Flyers aren't ever afforded that ability to do so,
right?
But it's because they continuously fall behind. The other team is ready to go while we're still getting off the bus,
right? I mean, one of the things that interests me, and I had mentioned to you guys to take a look at Cam Atkinson's comments from a few nights ago, mm-hmm. because I don't have it word for word, but when he was asked about how this team is performing, and you know, he kind of just went off and was like, this is on the players, this has nothing to do with coaching, this has nothing to do with the general manager, this has to do with us being ready to play and going out there and wanting to win. Mm-hmm. And Hoagie, I'll kick it to you first, but I feel like this is a theme with either present players or past players where there's these like little subliminal hints that like in general, this team just never goes out ready to win a hockey game.
Yeah. I just hearing you say those words, I feel like we've heard those words said in different ways over the past 5-6 years. Just, you know, we're not ready, and we never come out ready. Why is that the fact? Like, you're being paid to be a hockey player, come out ready to play, especially as a team. Like, the amount of times they've come out so flat and so slow, and that there is just like, I'm gonna turn off this game because it's just not even worth it. It's not exciting. It's not exciting to the fans. It's not exciting to the players. Why even show up then?
Right. And Casey, do you think that this is more of a case of us looking too much into comments like this? Or do you think this really is an issue and that certain players are starting to really identify it and point it out?
I think it's absolutely an issue, because we've seen this for 2 years. And I would even argue we saw it at the beginning of that 2019 season that everybody still kind of grasps onto as like, oh, we weren't that bad. And overall, I think you're looking at just a systemic issue within the organization. And look, I'm not here to bash Claude Giroux. I'm not here to bash, you know, his play or anything like that. But like, I do think it comes from the veteran players and the players who are there to set the culture. And look, he's part of that. There's no doubt about it. And the whole like appeal of a lot of these guys that Chuck brought in during the offseason was, hey, look how many guys we have that wore a letter on their chest. Well, guess what? We have two 10-game losing streaks, you know, a 10-plus game losing streaks now. Like, it didn't help. And granted, a lot of those guys with letters on their chest are sitting in the press box, you know, with, right. with bubble wrap around them because they can't stay healthy. But, you know, overall, it's clear it is an organizational issue that needs to be, you basically need to have a heart transplant for the team. And, you know, last year in the offseason, I think we saw a lot of amputations. I'm going to keep with the medical terms, amputations, but like you need to like actually like tear the heart out of this team and find a way to replace it. And I do think that that's going to be a Claude Giroux and or others getting moved at the deadline.
Paging right. Dr. Casey.
Come in, rip off more. Right. We need to rip off more.
Again.
To the heart. So, I mean, obviously we will have much more, many more conversations about what this team is going to do at the deadline, what this team is going to do moving forward. But Derek, we're looking at a team right now that pretty much has no heart. Mm-hmm. They have no will to win. Mm-hmm. They've lost 11 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We have half the season left. What do you do now?
Now you field offers. You tell the entire league who's up for grabs if they can't already guess who. Because let's be honest, Claude Giroux is number one right there. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that by the deadline, I really don't want to see him in a Flyers jersey anymore.
Right.
Nothing to do with his play. Nothing to do with him as a person. It's strictly business, and I don't want to see him in a Flyers jersey. Then you go down the line. If Ristolainen is the next guy that you think you can get a big haul for or anything that can recoup what you spent for him, sure, go that route. I'm not a big fan of that, but it is what it is. Again, a business. Martin Jones, don't know what you can get for him after this, but like if it's something, if Edmonton would bite and say, yeah, we need a decent enough goalie, I still don't think it happens.
I'm really like, are you sure, Edmonton, that's going to solve your problems?
Right.
It's like you're flirting just above Flyer land right now. And Martin Jones didn't really work out for us.
When you've got a guy like McDavid and Draisaitl, though, I mean, you're always going to think you're one or two pieces away, sure. You've got two of the best players in the league.
Right.
Whether that's right or wrong, completely other discussion.
Right.
You need to make it known that these are the guys that are available. Woo me, or I'm not trading them to you. Someone will. There will likely be suitors lined up. So make it known who's available and then start taking calls. Drive up the price. If you've got a buddy who's GM over in, you know, Lord knows, I don't know, you know, who Fletcher's buddies with, have him drive up the price if he's not interested. Sure.
Just talk Minnesota.
Was that Bill Guerin in Minnesota?
Sure.
Yeah. Talk to Bill Guerin. Be like, hey, man, listen, do me a solid. Go over here and tell him we're offering Boldy and a first round pick and a conditional second for Giroux. And let's see who bites.
Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty fun.
Right.
Right.
It's the old man. It's the old boys club. You know, so, something like that could happen for sure.
So here's the thing though, right? Like I get what you're saying, right? We need to start fielding offers and I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. But we have 42 games left of this, or 40, not 42, but yet 40 games left of this.
Do
so
they
like,
matter, though? Do they really matter?
Okay, so Casey, are you going to be able to handle 40 more games of this?
Yeah, you know why? I'm sick and demented, man. I've been through, I don't know if you guys were young enough or were old enough, but do you remember the 2006 season? Like how bad that, I mean, we were the worst team in the mm-hmm. league. Mm-hmm. I still watched 90% of those games. And you want to know why? It's because in 2010, it made it feel that much better when we actually did well. And so it's right. like a form of self-mutilation in order to just feel joy again.
I guess what I'm kind of
is my middle name.
What I'm kind of getting at here is like, I want to see bad, but with a direction, like
yeah.
start just putting in the young guys. Like at this point, you know, I don't need to see the Brassards of the world anymore. You know, just put in the kids. If we're going to lose, at least give them the opportunity to play.
I agree 100%. And my issue is I just don't even think, I think every young player or that could make an NHL roster or has a chance to, we've already had up. Like,
no, I know.
The cabinet's clean at this point. Right. Yo came out and we're like, oh, what about Zamula? He was like, that guy needs to put on some serious weight. Like,
right.
he's just too small. So, look, I'll still watch it. I agree with you. I want to see a direction, and I know we'll get into Chuck stuff, but it's like, all right, what's the direction going to be? Let's be realistic. We're not going to be playoff contenders this year. How do we make the best of this and at least show improvement and get ourselves lined up to not suck as bad next year? We're not going to be a contender next year, but maybe we cannot lose 10 games twice in a row.
Right.
All I see is Rob Schneider right now from Waterboro. Like, oh no, we suck again. You know?
So, Hoagie, you have anything to add to this?
I mean, we've endured it this long. What's another 40 games?
Hell, that's what it is. It's hell.
Right.
Who cares at this point? We're not going anywhere.
Right. I mean, and listen, we're going to get into the Chuck Fletcher thing, but one thing I wanted to add, because Derek kind of sprinkled it in there, is the news that it's really looking like Ristolainen is not going to be a member of this team moving forward. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a few reports from, you know, the big guys, Elliot Friedman and co, that he wants to go play for a winner. Shocking.
Right? Can't blame the guy one bit.
No. I mean, I've said this on shows before though, right? This was somebody that I really felt like the Flyers could use as like that next generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now Chuck Fletcher's job, and Hoagie, I'll kick it to you here first, right, is can I recoup something that I – because I paid a hefty price for Ristolainen. So now my goal is to see what can I get back.
I don't think he's going to recoup all of it, but, I mean, I don't blame Risto for wanting to bounce. He's wasted his years on terrible teams, including the Flyers at this point. Go to a winner. He was promised a winning team this year, and what he got. So
right.
I don't think Fletcher's gonna get what he gave up. There's no way. Unless we can get Robbie Hay back. I'm all for it.
You can't replace that. You can't replace Robbie Hay.
Derek, does Risto give you a first coming back?
Ooh. I don't know. I really don't. I think he could. And to be quite honest, I think it's because of Sanheim's heroic efforts in making him look as good of a defenseman as he possibly could. I will never let that die. But what a dumb schmuck. Good God. I think he could. He's a right-handed defenseman. Right-handed defensemen have always there's always been a premium. People have paid a premium for these types of guys. Big, physical. And honestly, I think he had the bounce back year to an extent that people know he can play.
Right.
He's just been saddled with terrible teams his entire career. So
the weather put him maps. In
the – you know what I have to say about that. I can't say it on here, but you put him in the right situation, second pair, on a really good team, a third pair. Oh my God. Like, I think he'd be fantastic, right. But it's the right team at the right time at the right price. It's got to be a perfect storm for the Flyers to be able to get a first round pick for Risto.
What do you think, Casey? You think he's getting a first in return?
I think you'll get a first. I don't know if you'll get much more than that. And right. I think it's a matter of when you get the first. Is it this year's first? Is it next year's first? Like, you know, I ultimately, like, what the 2023 draft is incredibly deep from what I'm hearing. I wouldn't know the difference.
Right.
I feel like I hear that like every year.
Right.
So it was the 2017 kind of, draft, and look, we took Nolan Patrick.
Yeah. So look, I think you have to try to get a first. And you know, maybe you can get, you know, maybe you can get something lower down the line, but I don't think you'll get much more. I look at a team like Boston, who I think they don't have a great defense from top to bottom, and I think they could use a guy with physicality. Right. They're likely gonna make the playoffs, and this is, you know, Boston's aging, and I don't know how much more they're gonna get, as we've said about Pittsburgh for the last 10 years, and look at them now. So I don't know. I see a team like Boston who's light on the blue line, and Risto, I can imagine him just being a nasty mofo in the playoffs, man. Like,
right.
He's just the kind of guy that you hate to play against. And I'm with you, John. I'll be bummed to see him go, because I think he is one. I don't know if we've gotten all the bang for our buck with him, but he's lived up to the expectation, I think, that we thought he would do.
Right.
It's just he hasn't been, you know, nobody else really has, with the exception of maybe Atkinson. Those are the only two who arguably are in the lineup right now that came in from last time.
Well, and I kind of viewed those two as kind of the new torchbearers coming in. You know what I mean? Like, not necessarily the future of the franchise, right? I'd like them to be a little bit younger to have that title, but like the, hey, we're shifting it and you're going to follow these two.
Yep.
Cam Atkinson is going to give you that never say die, and Risto is going to give you that snarl. Yep. So I was really hoping to have both of those. He's going to make you die. We still bomb.
And what they're going to do is, like, they're going to do the fake puppet show where Cam's going to sit on Risto's knee. And that's how they're going to do team speeches.
Hello, Cammy.
Hi, Risto.
Are you having a wonderful day, Cammy?
Oh, I'm having a great day. No, this is our second 10-game losing streak of the season. What the hell do you think?
Speaking of people who might want to bring out the puppets the next time he talks to people, Chuck Fletcher is addressing the media on Wednesday.
Yes.
We can only hope that he's bringing out his inner ventriloquist to make it a little bit.
Status quo.
I love the hype, people getting excited. Oh, he's going to address the media. State of the team. Here we go. Derek, is he going to provide anything of use?
No. We've gotten so used to the fact that anytime he's called a meeting like this, it's been, like I said, status quo.
We are what we eat.
We are what we are. This is what we are. And that's what we're going to be. I have no faith in coming away from that press conference feeling any type of way about anything. It's going to be injuries bit us really hard, which is true, but not an excuse. Oh, well, you know, COVID protocols and that. Okay, I get that too. But again, something everybody deals with. I always, in this type of situation, look at a team like Pittsburgh, our arch nemesis from the west side of Pennsylvania, and what they've been able to do with the fact that, I mean, they were without Crosby for an extended period of time. They were without Malkin for an extended period of time. They're two superstars, and they're still sitting in a playoff spot right now. This press conference, for me, ideally needs to be the tipping point where he says, we're selling, we are shifting our focus to building for the future, and not a Ron Hextall type of shift of focus. We're talking actually rebuilding and not half-assing it. But that won't happen. And I think the sooner we come to terms with that, the less malcontent we'll be. But that's not to say that we're still not going to be pissed off, because look at the situation and circumstances.
So, Casey, I mean, I want you to tell me what you want to hear. But first, I want you to tell me, does he give you anything besides what Derek said, the status quo?
No, and I don't think he can. I think if we're playing this in a trade type, trade value poker hand, like, I don't think he can tip his cap too far one way or the other. He's doing this, I'm assuming, because it was the quarterly update of the team. He's not going to be like, all right, fans, I know it's been, here's all the inner workings of what's going on in my whiteboard behind locked doors. Like, we're not going to get it. And everybody's going to be pissed off that we don't get it. But, like, that's the reality of it. That's why he's in the position he's in. That's why we are where we are. You know, what I'm hoping to get out of this, I don't know, some clarity on some of the injuries. Like, maybe.
Sure.
I think maybe that's the best case scenario that we get out of this. There's not going to be anything groundbreaking. But I don't know. I also just don't. These press conferences never meant anything. And if there's a major change that happens, i.e. a coach gets fired, that happens at 7 a.m. totally unprepared. So, like,
and that's not happening again.
No, nor should it. Like, no. Yo's not our guy, but at the same time, he was given a crap sandwich. And
talk about worst jobs in the world right now, huh?
Do we have a crap sandwich counter for how many times Casey's mentioned that in the past couple weeks?
Seems to be the theme of this this season, though. So there's a big crap sandwich.
What a crap sandwich.
Yeah, it's a crap hoagie.
All right, crap, Hoagie. How about you, my friend?
I can't wait to hear we are what we are in the first 10 games of the season. But what I wish to hear, and we're going to hear, what's going on with these injuries? Are they going to come back for the season? And if they're not, what are we going to do to progress towards the end? I'm hoping it's a full-on sell mode and we just get through it.
Right. You know, and I think the thing is like, I agree with you, Casey. You only get so much out of these, press conferences. But I do think about the New York Rangers and that letter to the fans that kind of like set this precedent that it's like, we're going to announce a rebuild. And I do think that without doing that, because I really don't need a letter. I have to read enough throughout the day. I don't need to read a letter. But like, I do think he could go into it and just be like, listen, myself, management, ownership have evaluated the first half of this season and have realized that we do need to make a serious organizational shift. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think he can do that without getting into all the nitty-gritty details. Mm-hmm. Just to give something. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, think about what he's really giving. Not a whole lot. All he's saying is we need to make change.
Right. And I don't think there's no way he can go out there and be like, I think we're on the verge. I think we're almost there. Like,
just he says to that, see. I swear to God.
Well, the first 10 games, guys. The first 10 games.
The first 10 games. I hear that. I'm going to go. I will. What we talked about, was it last week? I will personally throw Gritty from the top of the Wells Fargo Center.
John and I were messing around after one of the pregame shows. And we were like, how good would it be if, like, symbolically they were just like, we're done with Gritty. And then they do a full blown, like, Braveheart, like, murder scene of Gritty. Like,
it might be what's
broke him.
They literally just released a game with him.
Like, yeah, I think we did that on the air, episode. Casey.
Yeah, we did talk about that last week.
Because you're talking about like French War era.
They released that tweet today about like streets. Check out your app stores for the Gritty game about whatever. And I'm like, dude, like this team is so far from what really matters. Like they just—it doesn't seem like they care. And sure, it's social media.
It's two something. Separate departments, man.
You're right, but good God, like. Have your finger on the pulse, like that, right. That's what
you know your audience to do.
Exactly. Know so, your audience.
What's it called? Is it an app?
It's like Hungry Gritty or something.
It was something stupid. But
it's stupid.
You just brought up a great point, John, about like departments. I was looking up the Penguins, like hockey ops, and like the Flyers front office. Mm-hmm. The Penguins front office is like the ownership, and then your hockey ops. On the website in that order. Boom, boom.
Yep.
Flyers, it's like ownership, ticket sales, social media, this. The last part is
the Comcast coaching format.
and the general manager and stuff like that. Like there's a divide right there. Your hockey ops needs to be at the top of that page.
Well, let's see what happens when Fenway takes complete control of the Penguins. I'm being serious though.
But
you know what I mean?
Lemieux still has ownership to an extent, right? He still has.
Oh, does he? I have no idea.
I think they just they own him, like it's like an umbrella, but Lemieux still has
his voice partial will be heard, for sure.
Yeah, he still has partial ownership.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But well, like, it's just a good point. Like there's a good divide right there of
right.
Those departments.
It's priorities. I mean, like I'm sorry, go ahead, Casey.
I think you look back to John's original point about the Penguins and, you know, without their stars and stuff like that. But Derek, one of the things you didn't mention in like the things that, you know, excuses or reasons why is like a coaching staff. And I'm not saying AV was a bad coach, but a coaching staff that had buy-in from the players, which I think obviously we did not have.
Right, sure.
And so I think, you know, who's Pittsburgh's coach? Sullivan?
Mike Sullivan. Sullivan.
Like, good for him. Like, he was dealt, you know, not the best hand either, and he's made the best of it and then some. And I think, you know, maybe it's kudos to him as a coach. Maybe they just have a deeper bench than people realize. But, you know, I think you put all those factors. You have you know, the COVID, the injuries, the coaching, and then players literally just not being motivated. You combine that together, and you know, I don't care who you bring in, they're not going to turn that around.
When's the last time the Flyers have had a coach like that, that the players have wanted to buy in? And, you know, you could say, well, the players need to buy in. Like, they're the players. Mm-hmm. But you've got to have that – you've got to have that connection, and you've got to have that relationship as a coach with your players and as a mm-hmm. player with your coach. Like, there hasn't been that type of relationship where everybody is fully bought in my opinion, since Laviolette.
And I would say Berube a little bit.
Berube a little bit, sure. But, I mean, they parted ways with him, and look what he did in St. Louis. Like, right. The fact remains, they didn't give Berube a long enough leash, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. But, hey, it is what it is at this point.
But here's the thing, too, and I think that this could really dovetail in a different conversation, but you look at guys like Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. Like, I hate all of them, but they want to win at all costs. Mm-hmm. They're going to know whoever's behind the bench. They're going to be like, all right, we all have the same goal in mind. You lead us in the right direction and we will follow.
Mm-hmm. Bylsma. Who was their coach before Sullivan?
Bylsma.
Was it like Johnston or something like that? Johnston?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it was Bylsma, then the Johnston, and then Sullivan. But
they bought in all three times. Bylsma, they won a cup with. I think, didn't they win a cup with Johnston or at least get close?
No, Sullivan's been there for 6 years.
Okay, so right. But Sullivan, they won a cup with, I think, two. You know, they bought in.
Backs.
Yeah, they bought in with every single one of those coaches. They were still competitive under Mike
right.
Johnston.
So that's a roster problem, right? That's
right.
You know, yeah, you know, and I think that we have a not we because we didn't do anything. We didn't have nothing to do with this, but
sure
we have kind of created this status quo mentality where it was just like you just go out and you do your thing and like that's kind of it. And as much as I love Claude Giroux, you know, I never really saw that bring the whole team to the next level.
Right.
That guys like Crosby are able to do, you know? So it's like what you were saying, Derek, what coach can you bring in to, you know, so the players buy in? You need players who are going to be willing to buy into a coach regardless of what they're going to bring to the table.
But if those players are going to remain, you still need the right coach. Like if the upper management is so stubborn in not wanting to get rid of player X, Y, and Z, then you need to find the right coach that's going to gel, whether that's the
if
right
that exists, though, well, if that exists,
but well, whether that's the point, right process or not.
Go ahead, Hoagie. I know at me that, and Derek are starting to mom no worries, and dad.
But at that point, you got to look at the front office organization.
Right.
If not willing to get rid of a player for not joining with the coach or a coach not joining with the player. Mm-hmm. You got to look at those faces. The GM, your hockey ops, your whoever, someone's got to go.
And, you know, I kind of want to bring this back to Chuck Fletcher, and then I think we can start to wrap up this conversation because we could just go on forever. But Chuck Fletcher comes out Wednesday. What's today? Monday?
Wednesday at 11.
So, yeah, he comes out on Wednesday, and he gives you the same speech again, right? What I wonder is how can this team then say we're going for a complete change with him still at the helm?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And Hoagie, maybe you wanted to start with us on this one, but how can he then be the voice of that change if he's just going to come out and feed us the same thing?
He can't be at that face of making those moves unless we bring in, I hate to bring it up with the Penguins again, but unless we have someone like Brian Burke, who's kind of overseeing everything and kind of having a hand in what's right. being said and what moves are being made. That's the only way I can see him actually being the GM and actually making conscious moves to progress this team forward for either a rebuild or a retool, whatever this team decides right. to do.
Casey at the bat.
2 weeks ago, I would have said Chuck is the only one to date who's really done his job, and I think I did say that.
Yep.
It's just become very apparent now that despite I do think he had – good intentions. It just, he put too many eggs in the veteran basket and, you know, with injury prone players, and it just, it's blown up. And I do, you know, so there's certainly blame to go around everywhere, and he's not you know, he's not short of that. So I wouldn't be shocked if he is not the GM next year. My thing is, if they're going to make a GM change, and that comes from, I assume, Dave Scott and Paul Holmgren. I don't know what he's doing these
days. Brian Roberts, maybe.
I think it needs to be done now, because otherwise, if you're doing rebuilding and, you know, you got to pick up all sorts of draft capital and stuff like
that. Too much to do over the offseason.
Right. You have to start that process now. And the other thing is like, you know, the biggest thing is this team needs to figure out what they want to be. You know, I remember I thought it several times, especially last year. I was like, we're not big. We're not fast. We're not skilled. Like, you can be, you know, you got to be at least one of those things. Ideally, you're two of them. You know, championship three teams have all three of those factors. We have none of it. And so I think it's, you know, you got to try to figure out, be like, all right, we're going with the, you know, the fast and skilled route. And we got to pick up three or four guys who can really churn and burn on the ice. And that's going to be our identity moving forward.
Dirk, what do you say?
This is tough because, you know, you fire Chuck Fletcher, you bring in a new guy, whoever that might be. You're
Danny
presumably
boy, the pipes are calling.
Let him bake a little bit. You bring in a guy and you're going to want an evaluation period. But how long is that evaluation period supposed to last if this team needs a complete overhaul? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you almost have to let Chuck Fletcher handle this team up until the trade deadline at the very least, because he's going to be the guy that can evaluate these players more accurately than anybody you could bring in, unless you're bringing back Ron Hextall, which is not happening. And even then, there's been so much turnover with this team.
Wait, that's the only other option? Bringing back Ron Hextall?
No.
I think a crap sandwich and a crap hoagie.
Not just like a crap platter. There's nobody right now that knows this team better than Chuck Fletcher. I'm not saying that is a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying factually, there's nobody that knows this team better than Chuck Fletcher.
Can I interject real quick, though?
No, shut your mouth. I have a point to make.
Okay, but this has to do with your point, because aren't you firing this guy because you don't trust his evaluations anymore?
But what choice do you have? I mean, you're rolling the dice.
You're rolling the dice regardless. All we've been doing is rolling the dice.
You fire Chuck Fletcher, and let's say Dave Scott takes over, a guy that knows dick about hockey.
He's not going to take over.
Holmgren's going to take over. Holmgren? Do you trust Holmgren?
Do you see him getting very dramatic right now?
I don't trust Holmgren. I don't get the chance to do this because I typically host, so I'm capitalizing on it.
Cranking up his laptop.
I'm having computer problems every day from here on out.
I just think it's a weird message to send where it's like, well, we're going to fire, you know, we're going to let this guy do his thing because we trust him to get us through the trade deadline, and then we're going to fire him. Like, to me, you either go all in on not trusting him and you fire him now, or you let this guy ride it out and give him at least one more year.
Because he's got to make a coaching hire, too.
Yep.
And that, you know, we all know that a GM, like, you want your guy in there.
Yep.
And so that's why it's like, I think if they're going to let Chuck go, it's got to be in the next 2 weeks. Like, they have to. And didn't Chuck get brought in midseason? Or did I make that up?
Yeah. It was mid-ish
season. Yeah, because he dealt Simmons.
That was a great trade.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Hartman in the fourth. Hartman's freaking lighting it up now, of course.
So I don't know. I think there's too many things that need to happen from a GM standpoint, whether it's players or coaching, for them to be like lame ducking Chuck into the summer.
Right. Lame duck Chuck.
Every decision is going to be met with criticism at this point. It's like, whatever. Like, I'm basically indifferent at this point. I just don't care anymore.
Danny,
just
want the meeting to stop. I just
want to see how the draft plays out. I want to see what this team does when it comes to the trade deadline. The games that happen in between, I really don't give two you know what's about, because it's just going to be more pain and suffering.
Across the mountainside.
Just shoot me.
All right. Anyway, does anybody have anything else to say about this?
Yeah, stop singing.
It's 1-1 right now, the end of the second period. I bet the under. So let's keep that going, boys.
All right.
This is it.
All right. Was the over three?
41 straight. There we go.
Five and a half. Five and a half. I'm like, I'm betting the under every time the Flyers play.
Oh, my God, yeah. Unless they're playing Tampa Bay or, you know.
Right. Shit.
Who's another
Buffalo.
Great, like,
yeah, Buffalo.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's a whole tangent I could go off on. But
yeah, that's not.
Nope.
Hoagie, do you want to tell us your joke, buddy?
I'd be more than glad to.
Hey, you want to tell us your joke?
Yeah, like the Flyers against the Sabres.
Are you ready for it?
Nope.
How do you get Pikachu on a bus?
What? I don't know.
I can't tell
Pokemon.
You.
Pokemon. Got John to laugh on that one. Kudos. I like it.
You know what's funny? You want to get little nerd people mad? Call it Pokemon. They freak out.
It's Pokemon. Pokemon.
Playing Pokemon, Pokemon over there in the corner.
You should have seen that Charmander.
Charmander.
Charizard.
Sounds like a sea creature pirates were looking out for. Armiker, the Charmander, matey.
That Vanessa was huge. Oh, my God.
Garner Riddle dropping some knowledge in the old comment section.
There we go.
Var.rent.
You click it, John. There you go.
See, Va.rent.
Va.rent.
What does it mean to you, Casey? Anything?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what the hell you kids are talking about.
It's like the last time I typed that in, I got a computer virus. All right. Well, I think that's about it for tonight. You can find the Mats at Pod Street Casey and Pod Street Hoagie. Hoags? Hoagie? Hoger? Hoags. Why is it not Hoagie?
Why do you not know this?
Because I don't care that much. Darren, do you want to do my thing?
Do I want to do your thing?
Do my thing.
You're a lot better at it than I am.
All right. Well, you can find this podcast on all your various podcast listening receptacles, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Spreaker, Stitcher, maybe. I don't know. Deezer, Google Podcasts, if they have a thing. You can find us on YouTube.
Safari Podcast.
Safari Podcast. What's the other one?
Bing Podcast.
Do they have those? Yeah, Bing Podcast.
Netscape Podcast. Yeah,
right. yeah. So,
oh, God damn it,
Derek, you have anything fun to say?
I do. You can find me on Twitter at Pod Street Bob. You can find John on Twitter at Pod Street Gob. You can find all four of us on Twitter at Pod ST Bullies. Check out our affiliates, Flyers High and Wide, and the 5-Minute Major Pod. All those guys, awesome guys. Awesome
guys,
Flyers talk as
guys,
well.
Guys,
and girls. We do have girls with Flyers High and Wide as well. But yes, awesome people. But John, you're the host, so you got to end this.
All right. Bye now.
Bye now.
Bye now.